Dear brothers and sisters, in faith, Jesus Christ, I could have easily let Ray carry on with questions and questions. But there's a time for everything, and I just determined in my mind to look the lion straight in the face. We are all with the same struggles, and what we learned this morning parallels so well with child training. We older people, I am still a child, simple as that. And those who can admit it and freely understand, dig into that thought, they'll soon understand, yes. As we change positions in life, we grow up, it's an overlapping concept. And yes, child training is a very important thing. I went through that and still I see it all the time. I'd like to somehow involve you in laying the foundation, the very keys of child training, because it is world over. Take that as the world, the North Pole and the South Pole. What are the keys for the people in the world? Just simple words, simple phrases, because once you get into really deep, complicated wording, I get lost. So Jonathan asked for simple, he'll surely get it. What are very keys as we go through to train children? Mike for Edward.
Love.
Love, amen.
Consistent.
What was it?
Consistent.
Consistent. Yes. No, spelling.
Prayer.
Yes. There's one more I hope I hear. Jonathan.
Fear of God. Fear of God.
Fear of God. Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the author for our children. When I think back over my life in child training, there was a few very touching incidents, and Jesus was the total answer. And when I look back, he kept me many times from disaster. If we believe and trust in him, he will do it for whoever, and it does not matter who it is. Statue or whoever. One more I had written down here, it's not on there, is when someone says yes to the children, it must mean yes. And when someone says no, parents, to the children, it must mean no, not a whole row of whatever. But then there will be circumstances when you don't know. You simply don't know what to do. And an excellent answer to a child in that stage is, let's ask father or mother, either way. See what they think, discuss it. It gives an opportunity for time to think things through. But there will be circumstances when it must be decided immediately, especially if safety is concerned, or even if it is a downward trend to sin, then it must be decided immediately, and then from then on, whatever the means is. I tried hard to discern where to start, because this is an overlapping thing from the minute a man is born until he dies. It overlaps and overlaps. People pass it on. And I decided to start with a child just born. A child that is just born is absolutely dependent upon the parents, which doesn't have to be said, but still the fact remains. And that child will learns far more in them first weeks than I ever dreamt they learn. But I'm convinced in my mind, it's my own experience, my own, there's no biblical background, but just the fact. And I have heard say that even in the mother's womb, the child is already forming some things. That's too deep for me. But it is a little baby. And I remember well, our first little child looked very weak compared to me as a working man. Very weak, the head bobbed around. I was more than happy to let mother take care of it. But then after 6 months or so, then I started to get bolder, I guess, and I took care too what I could. And it was amazing. They readily respond to a smile. Very few children. There's always something born in a child, as we all know, older people all know, that has to be dealt with. And it goes on right through life, from what I understand. And that is that human nature. But love is a key ingredient in going. When a little child acts up, I've experienced a child in my arms, stiff as a rod, screaming. And it is, for a young husband, it can be devastating. But I learned by experience, hang on, gentle, listen, look for ways, and when everything sobers down, talk, whatever it may be. They might not even understand it. And that's an excellent way mothers communicate to their little child. One incident, my wife got along well with little babies. It went quite smooth in their crib. They were sleeping. When they woke up, she talked to them. And then they were comfortable and content. There was someone else in the house. And things went well. And then one of the neighbor's girls, courteously and with love and respect for us, thought she could come and help, which was well. And this girl came in and she helped where she could. And then when the little baby woke up and squeaked a little bit, she went right over and cuddled him and talked to him and picked him up. And, well, fine and dandy. She mended well. That's not my point. She mended well. But after that, the child wasn't normal anymore. It didn't respond. It took about a week to train that off again. Mother had a way of just talking, and then when she knew the child's voice, she did something about it then. But that was out of my jurisdiction, basically. It's just an interesting thing. It was an interesting thing to me to watch and observe that. But as the child grew older and started to show nature, and another thing that is very, very prominent, I noticed, and that is the time comes when when my own children showed my own flaws that I was struggling with. And it's amazingly how soon that happens. Then it comes back to, when do you start training a child, was the question one time. And a woman had a few children. I don't know what the figures were, but she was married, let's say, 3 years, a couple of children. And she asked the preacher, when do you start training a child? The preacher looked at her and said, you've lost 5 years. In other words, we need to do it while we're young. Teach ourselves the disciplines of the commandments, what Jesus continually, and love was mentioned, consistent, amen, prayer, all good ones. But the thing that really struck me, these little children, they go up, learn to eat and do their things and start to crawl all over the place, get into anything and everything, learn to walk. Then you take them out to the barn. And we took our oldest one out to the barn. And, well, I was very confident. Mother had an eye like only mothers have to watch their children. But nevertheless, I did try to keep my eyes open myself. And I was about my feeding. And then the next thing I knew, I seen this little boy go right in beside the horse. And to keep from falling, he hung to his hind leg. Oh, my heart sunk. That time, I cried out, Jesus, I'll never be able to raise children. If he would have been killed, I could have been in jail, children's aid, what have you. I totally relied on Jesus. And please do that too, because it's been very rewarding. We have our things to do, yes. That's one of my experiences. In Matthew 5:37, that yes and no. But let your communication be yes, yes, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. As humans are so prone to add a few threats, or if it doesn't respond with a no right away, we have to say it again and again. And that's the type of thing we have to train ourselves to. When we say no, it means no. And hey, that's a struggle for us all. We can't get away from it. But it is rewarding when that comes across to the children. And to emphasize that particular thing, I was grocery shopping one time, with two or three children, I forget, following me, little 5-6-year-olds, and one of them picked up Candace. When I came up to the counter to pay up, I noticed, oh, this is something we didn't pick up. Well, I didn't know for sure what the most practical thing is to do. I literally told him sharply to take that back, and he was very, very subdued, but he did. But then the clerk said, oh, that's okay for this time. It won't matter that much. And I told her, yes, could very well be. But if he comes in 10 years from now, he'll do it too. Yes, yes, that's what she said. So I made him put it back. But now, of course, he understands. But those little incidents to just, if I would have said yes, oh, go ahead, I would have planted the seed for sin. And of course, the key ingredients, it has to be in love with a firm hand. Love is not always sweet. Sometimes love is very humbling, brutal. If someone does reprimand us or... But as they grow older, as parents always, I've learned, I always see in different parents as I observe, they're learning themselves. And we have to be careful how sharp and critical we are, because we are all of the same blood, of the same nature we have to deal with. So just keep that in mind. Yes should mean yes, and no means no. And if it's uncertain, and then ask either mother or father, either way. Another example where I learned a humbling experience after they were older, this young child wanted a pellet gun, and I thought, yeah, there's hunting blood in our relatives, so it's really nothing abnormal. But I tried to tell them what's important, how to handle it, be careful. But as children are, they get excited, aggressive, lose themselves, or forget themselves would be better worded. I was driving down the road with a buggy. There was someone ahead of us, and he had this pellet gun with him. We were going to the other farm, and he picked it up and was going to shoot straight ahead to kind of scare or get the attention. That time, no meant no. But here again, I don't recall how much love it was involved in that particular case with me, but it is important. But he understood, you do not do that. So the point was, no means no. Some areas, it's just cut and dried. There's no forgiveness. It's no. We'll take a little child when he comes into the, starts walking in the house, and you teach him not to touch the stove. That's a very popular incident. The stove is hot. Oh, and they stay away. But sooner or later, they wonder why not, and do it. After that, they'll never forget. They'll avoid it as much as possible. But then there's things that they have to be told to avoid shame, destruction. And another very important thing, it was discussed this morning, is compassion, a compassion for the poor. And I looked up poor myself, and my dictionary said destitute of value, unhappy, pitiable, destitute of value. Us parents have to be so careful. It is easy to love a child that excels in things and has the ability to, quick to learn, the ability to go about and always seem to be on top. It is easy to kind of look after them. But you know, I've learned it, I've found it, and those poor children that stand in their outside circle and don't participate and cry often, there's different age levels here where that comes into effect. Those are the children that need love. There's many a school teacher that has said, out of experience, a child out in the playground by himself, he needs love, compassion. Just a little bit, if I can word it right, that's why I'm here. Let's just stay there. I like Jesus' example in Luke 18. It is something 15 and 17. And they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. What a message. I watched one of my grandchildren, approximately a year and a half old, walking. His mother was sitting beside the table, and she had him on the table, running around the table. He seemed to know where the edge was, because he didn't go close to the edge. But where mother was sitting, he walked right off the table into her lap. Boy, I thought that's a very excellent picture of what we older people ought to be with Jesus. We ought to trust Jesus like that little child. He had nothing entered his mind that his mother wouldn't catch him. Just a normal thing. He had complete confidence, and that is the way we want to rely on Jesus, because there's so many twists and turns and words, and I get lost. And then parents shepherd the children, not lord over them. Gentle, patience, meekness, kindness, all those virtues, shepherd them. Jesus said to the disciples, they are not to lord over their flock. And that's exactly what parents, because it separates. If you shepherd them, there is a connection. There comes a connection. That incident that said about that little child hanging on to the horse's hind leg, it was only a year or two later. And mother, when we were at home for reasons, mother was expecting, and the neighbors came for the horse. So mother went out to help get the horse, and she walked into the horse and spooked him. He was normally a quiet horse, but that time he was spooked, and he kicked her, and we lost a son. So that was another time. Jesus, all our struggles, these things, there's many things included. Rely on Jesus when you're up against, when you're stranded, and never forget to praise him, because there's many times when you look back that he has spared us. And I'm sure you could all say that too. He spared us. These dear children, there is sometimes in a growing family when all of a sudden everything seems to go chaos. And we've been through it, and we must remember we are mortal flesh. We are no different than animals, other than we have a soul which is accountable to our Creator, God. But these incidents in a family life, when everything seems to be an underlying current, a wild or a aggravating current all over through the family, and you can't quite pinpoint it, we need to be cleansed. The Bible says we need to be clean, cleanliness. But I have learned we need to take care of our health, the children's health. And as human flesh, put anything out on the road in the sun, wherever, a day or two the worms have eaten it up. Our bodies would be the same. So by all means, if there seems to be chaos, look to the health of the child, the children, the parents. We as a farmer run into that all the time, again and again, if we don't take care of those things. I think I'll leave it just at that. You can use your own guess what I'm striving at. I'm not sure how blunt I want to be. But after we treated those things, things more than often smoothed out. It's just a humble thing, but we're human, we're flesh and blood, and there is no shame in taking care where we can. I have a song picked out for our 262. I don't know it. If someone can start it and lead it, happy day. If not, I'll read it in 862. No volunteers. I can't sing it. There are two commandments recorded in the Bible, which are greater far than any you will find. To love the Lord with all the strength that is within you, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love the Lord, ye his creation. Unto him all honor give. Love your neighbor in your bosom. Jesus said, of those that do this, they shall live. If we love God, we should love those around about us, saint or sinner, man or woman, bond or free. We are not to love their conduct. They falter, but because they're human beings such as we. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets who had written through the ages of God's plan to send Jesus from his highest throne in glory on the earth to shed his blood for fallen man. Now, if God, who through his Son so dearly loved us, we should love him from the bottom of our heart, heeding all the precious precepts he has given, and from none of his example depart. That last line, example, I missed that. That is a tremendous feature for the children. They will read things on our parents' attitude, what we say, how we go about doing things. It is marvelous what these little children read. I love that little incident Jonathan gave on Dwight's wedding. It was so true to life, so true. I think as parents could all say we've experienced that. Little child watching, hearing. Just a little simple question from a child can make us feel to disappear on the floor. But some of this was quite gloomy. There is lots of pleasure and love in little children. I look back over the years, many times after dinner, I had three or four children on my lap, and they just wanted it. And there's something about those memories that they're just swelling in my heart. There's always good with the bad, but we have the tendency to kind of shy away from the bad and kind of walk over it, but let's face it. Next week, I pondered a little bit if I even want to attempt it, but from 8 years old, 10 years old on up, a complete different setting starts. If I guess I'm willing to try it, but with humbleness, but that's the time when people pretty well world over change from boyhood, from girlhood into a different phase. But it is, I guess I'll just wait and see what develops. God be with you in your journey to teach children.